It all began with a cartoon. There was a time for such things, drawn to represent ideas like being and God. Divine and irrational ideas with heavenly and damnable themes, thoughts that could trickle between truth and certainty. Hairline cracks where the frost would take hold over a few winters and widen. Seams in the seamless fabric like a flag held aloft, burning. Wild chants of execution made impulsively. There was some fear, trepidation, hesitancy. People started to apologize for it having happened. On behalf of entire nations, the burning flags sucked in more and more oxygen. Embassies were surrounded, not for the first time, but differently. They were surrounded by anger and frustration. Religious leaders spoke, decrying the soullessness of other cultures, saying they lived like pigs, not humans, and taking the cartoon, more exactly, the idea of the cartoon, its inception perceived as some wide cultural malaise, not reducible to a single artistic idea. They went on to suggest that the time was approaching when a conquering religion, now turned aggressive toward its critics, would flow like a flood across the world, drowning or enveloping foe and friend, infidel and zealot. This cartoon had simply twisted the handle of an unlocked door, and through it would flow the furies, decrying the satanic unbelievers. Guns appeared with the crowds outside the embassies. A day of anger was quickly organized, more galvanizing than any protest against war or promoting peace, more even than protecting human rights. Anger was the word that magnetized a thunderbolt of action, and a cartoon was blamed. Everyone blamed. The foreign secretary blamed other countries. But countries don't sketch cartoons. They can be subjects, but rarely authors. Blamed by people outside embassies, by people inside embassies, by people in other countries, by people in governments in other countries. Throughout history, people have submitted to the faith of their oppressors. The Houses of Parliament stood naked on the Thames. Ferries trawled by, full of tourists, taking snaps with zoom lens disposables, catching the fading light and sunset hues rippling on the gurgling wake behind them. Passions had run high. Protesters outside in red jackets and jodhpurs, black-helmed and mounted, stood beside burqa'd protesters carrying placards that read, "Fill in the blank." The place was surrounded, and most of the Met's regulars had been called to Soho to health and safety, a tattoo parlor by the old Vic, and hadn't been heard of for some time. It was getting dark, and no one felt safe on the streets unless they were in a car or had an iPod. Restaurants were empty as an air raid, and libraries shoveled book after book into boxes, expecting the movers at any moment. All the paperwork was being sent to a remote site in Devon, where it could all be accessed at the slightest phone call and a 10 to 14 working day transaction period. Things weren't so bad as they seemed. Dead swans, having flown all the way home to die of Asian bird flu contracted in Africa, may have been beached on the mud-strewn riverbanks at low tide. But there was a silent beauty to their splayed corpses and fanned-out wings, reminders of heraldic myth and the early stages of consumer branding. People were stoic enough to get by, make do as their ancestors had taught them. Remember the war, don't make a fuss, see you down the Albert about 7, eh, what? Off they'd trundle in their rag and bone man carts, bells jingling on the workhorse harnesses, street waifs covered in soot running behind like a flock of geese about to take off. Plugging their headphones into their little ears, saying, "You're breaking up, I'm going through a tunnel, I'll call you, yeah?" Then, resetting their iPods in full flight mind, hoping something significant would fall from the rag and bone man's cart beside the odd, worn-out hijab. Bomb lobbed excited, the floor hit the shit with a big splash and bang, it all blew up. The drummed up skin beaten blue beside the sea, and the waves were only calmed. It was a big human shock, but for nature, nothing at all, barely a ripple. So, on that hillside, at that time, love of everything and someone particularly, I veiled my thoughts, my face and hands tattooed. I dreamt long into the stars, leaking through that dark quilt sky above the frosty grass. I felt bats swing by on the strong wind, their shapes visible as they shot by, blocking starlight. She rang like bells of heaven, enticing mariners onto the rocks, swinging carillion tunes across Gabriel's trumpeting cheeks. One big bronze band singing me back to dark ages of youth and history, repeated like a reunion gig 20 years on. Everyone wrinkled, folded and radiant, some with kids, some with addictions, some wrote their life story. They all fell in love and left the road to stand in this field, entertaining themselves with the scenery and wind-blown soundtrack to the rest of life taking place off stage, somewhere else, where people watched what was happening and got old faster. Orbiting different candles, moving in and sharing their debt, leaving shadow statues behind to tell tales and remind passers-by that no one is alone, only briefly here and never far from hearing voices or singing mad songs. Cry in the distance, waves crash into the sea. Beauty hurled at fences and gates squeezes through the finest mesh and oozes into this future. Life and death hold hands, make promises about leaving home and moving on again and again. The cycle of small worlds repeats those long edge of one world onto another. Forgiving one another for bickering, dawn to dusk, reaching to the sea, turning tides to miracles, the past to stone, depth to weight, and rage to reason. Hand in hand with illusions and last words, coughed up blood and bile, ends quickly, ends, bang.